Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 29th of March, recording at 9:07 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little easier. No heavy selling, and some of them were... Few of them were steady, including India, Australia also. I think South Korea was as well, but not certain I'm recalling that correctly. European stock markets were mixed, quiet trading here overall, small pluses and minuses. UK FTSE index has crept back up to 59.32. And that was up just under 0.5%. The Americas closed out with gains. Wall Street had a pretty good performance here today, offsetting yesterday's weakness. And the Dow up 81 points, 9.25 points on the S&P. The NASDAQ composite was up almost 1%. That was the best of those three indices just mentioned. And S&P 500 index is back up to 1319. The long-dated government bond prices are weaker in here today, not surprisingly, against that background. And the U.S. 30-year bond is down 20, 30 seconds as I speak. Precious metals. Let me do the dollar first. And on the dollar index, it's actually going into the minus column very slightly. So it's... Lost a gain in here. I noticed that the Aussies pushed up to nearly 103. It's 102.96. I think that can't be far off the high, the all-time high. And euros pushed back up to 141. Sterling just back up above 160. Precious metals had been easier, but have strengthened as the dollar has eased. They haven't quite retraced those losses, or at least gold and platinum haven't. Silver's unchanged at 1308, and palladium's had a little bit better day, up nearly $9. So gold last at 1418. It's down 240. In the crude oil sector, we're firmer in here today. 104.79 for the Brent price. And just looking for, just back up above 115. On the Brent, sorry, the WTI was at 104.78. Brent back above 115. Industrial metals were firmer in here today. Grain and bean prices seesawed, but mostly ended with modest gains. And I think that's pretty much it. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are still in this ranging environment, but they're fairly steady within these ranges overall. We don't have much that's running to new highs. And where we have seen new highs, as with Russia and also the Canadian stock market not long ago, they don't maintain them, so they pull back. And that's hardly surprising, since we have been in a ranging consolidation phase. But Wall Street has maintained last week's gains and may actually be extending them here. Maybe we may be moving towards a test of those highs up around the 1350 area for the S&P 500 index. So that's a generally steady performance. Why might that take place? Well, the crisis in the Middle East has not worsened here recently. Now remember, the point about a crisis that I've often mentioned is that for the crisis to remain an important influence, it has to be seen to be deteriorating. Now, that stopped in Libya with the participation of the coalition to halt the civil war that looked like it might end in a slaughter, with Gaddafi winning. So people were concerned about that and the implications for oil, but that's that situation has been checked. We still have plenty of activity in terms of mob or crowd, I should say, demonstrations in a number of other Middle Eastern countries, but it's not escalating at the moment, and I think markets like that overall. We do have to remember, of course, that the background is a very much of a cyclical bull market for most stock markets overall. So that gives the upside a bias, and underpinning that upward bias is the monetary situation. The Fed's QE2 continues. There's little doubt in my mind that Japan is pumping in a lot of money as well, and that is helping equities. Now, a number of stronger economies, as we know, have raised interest rates and may do so somewhat further. But even where rates have gone up on a number of occasions, such as China and India, particularly India, they are still negative in terms of the rate of inflation. And so that is equity supportive as well. Incidentally, the three main Indian stock market indices, and that would be the Nifty, the Sensex, and the Bankex, the banking index. All three of those indices have nudged back up above their 200-day moving averages as of the last couple of days' activity. So that's favorable technical action generally. Now, and also, I should mention that the Wall Street leash effect at the moment is in a positive position, albeit range-bound. Now, we're getting short-term overbought on Wall Street, so I would expect to see some sort of a pause between current levels and maybe a little above that 1350 high at best. That's at best on the upside. Again, I just don't think Wall Street's ready to run on the upside. I have been talking about this mean reversion consolidation, and that certainly shows on the charts. The S&P's less overextended than it was, but I think we'll probably see more ranging, mostly below that 1350 level, before the bull market proper gets another sustained push to the upside. So don't be surprised if we get more of this ranging activity, but it's a little less choppy at the moment, and that's that's good news. I hadn't mentioned Japan, which is down all day today, but rallied towards the close, and just ended with a small decline overall. Again, I think the situation at the Fukushima reactors remains scary, and this is going to drag on, and therefore it's going to be a drag for the Japanese stock market, certainly for an additional short-term period, in my view. Now, moving on from stock markets, long-dated government bond prices, as equities strengthen, that's going to put pressure on these bond yields, these government bond yields, and vice versa. If people are worried about stock markets, and if the VIX index, for instance, is rising, then we can expect these bond yields to steady up. But we clearly have a base formation process underway here with long-dated government yields, and I think it will continue for the next few months. The tactic that I have advocated for trading these bonds, and I wish that I had always followed it, but the tactic I've advocated is the baby steps. Lightly selling the bond futures for those who are inclined, and I'm not trying to persuade anybody who isn't a natural trader or doesn't view themselves as a natural trader to trade, but for those who are inclined to lightly short the Treasury bond futures when prices rally and to cover incrementally as prices weaken. Now, I haven't always done that, and you might think, well, why haven't you always done that, David? And well, fecklessness and human frailty is the first answer I'll give. But also, I did that very effectively for a while last year, and then bond prices went into a sustained decline, and I found that I had come out too soon. And so I made a kind of a classic amateur's mistake after that, is that I then reshorted on a technical rally. But as I said, I'd taken my profits too soon because they got a larger move to the downside. So I reshorted when prices rallied up. And then when prices came off again, instead of going back to my baby steps tactic and taking the profits on weakness, I held on in case they ran again to the downside, which was not logical. If you think about it technically, since they're still in a top building phase, the bond futures, that is, and the converse of the base building development that's taking place in the long dated government bond yields. So, and I'd say overall that if one sticks to that baby steps tactic, certainly at this stage, while clearly these bonds are in the base building phase, and they won't be completing that or completing a section of that base building phase until the 10-year yields break decisively above the 4% level and maintain it, or just break above it and maintain it. But using that tactic, if the market goes off on a tear, one will be taking the profits too soon, and that'll happen from time to time. But maybe that's one fifth of the time, and the rest of the time it just tos and froes, and is ideal for the baby steps environment. Well, enough on that, and my apologies for those who aren't interested in shorting those bonds. For investors, I wouldn't have any bonds. If you want high yield, you go for high yield equities. There's still a number of those available around the globe. And in terms of currencies, we've had a sharp weakening of the yen here today. Now, I don't know whether that's due just to a change of sentiment among the yen traders. It will certainly help to create a change in sentiment among the traders, or whether there's been some more intervention. But as I speak, we've got the dollar up to 82.46 against the yen. And remember, we've got a soft dollar in here today, so the yen is even weaker. And the yen is, the yen is weak, excuse me, the yen is weak right across the boards. Now, I do feel this is the big currency trade for the rest of this year and quite possibly beyond. And if you think about the background, the yen had been exceedingly strong. You have a Bank of Japan governor who quite likes a strong yen, and that sometimes occurs. He's under a lot of pressure, though, from the prime minister and others in the government to allow it to weaken. There's certainly a good fundamental reason to justify that, in the form of the terrible problems in triplicate that have affected Japan, of the earthquake and the tsunami and now the Fukushima reactor situation. So, most of the time, most countries in this environment, in this highly competitive environment, have not wanted a strong currency. So the Bank of Japan governor is a bit of a holdout, but he did participate, perhaps under some duress, with the multilateral intervention. And that's extremely important, a very rare occurrence. My colleague Jackson Wong, I lived through those previous multilateral interventions, remember them well, as will some of my friends out there among the veteran subscribers. Jackson has given you a nice little reminder here by writing up those previous instances. So that to me is by far the most interesting currency trade here. To be short the yen, pick your currency really. I will concentrate, or I've so far I've concentrated on dollar yen. I'm not a big bull of the dollar, that's for sure. But the dollar's cheap here right now. The yen's expensive, and the yen dollar rate is the one that the central banks were concentrating on. But it could be euro yen, it could be Aussie yen. You're spoiled for choice, really. And among the commodities, well, Owen's got some interesting copy on them today. Talking about the grains, and don't want to steal his thunder on that, but you want to have a look because he's talking about the long-term inflation-adjusted trends, and it's pretty interesting. And on that note, all the best to all of you.